This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is sexploration.
Explore.
Play.
This is sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica at sexplorationwithmonica.com.
So it's Saturday night, and we're here at the Wax Museum at Fisherman's Wharf in downtown San Francisco, and it's a very festive occasion here at the Wax Museum. It's gay night. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are here, and it's a benefit for the Rainbow World Fund, and I'm standing here with Jeff Cotter. Jeff, thank you so much for throwing this wonderful party.
Yeah, thanks for being here, Monica.
So tell me a little bit about the Rainbow World Fund. I know that you do a lot of good things all around the world, and you have a focus in the LGBTQ community.
That's right. Rainbow World Fund is an international humanitarian aid agency based in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and friends community. So we're, you know, LGBT people and straight people working together to help heal the world. And what we do is we focus in the gay community, the LGBT community, educating people about issues of world need and humanitarian aid. And as we raise our community's consciousness, we raise funds to support relief efforts all around the world. We have projects ongoing that we support in Cambodia, Guatemala, Haiti, Honduras, South Africa. Our projects focus on landmine eradication, hunger, safe drinking water access, global HIV, disaster relief. Plus, they branch out into all sorts of things like supporting educational projects for children and helping orphans. Besides our ongoing projects in those countries, we've also helped out in a number of natural disasters, starting with the tsunami a number of years ago. We raised $250,000 for that, and that was all coming from the gay community to help serve the rest of the world. And during Hurricane Katrina, we provided 1 million pounds of food to the survivors. So, and then we've helped out with a number of earthquakes and other natural occurrences that have harmed people around the world over the years, too.
So you do a variety of different kinds of outreach and rescue projects, but it seems like it's totally international. How do you find new projects? Like how do you choose who you help and where you go?
Sure. Well, we have five main focus areas, and those are landmine eradication, hunger, safe drinking water access, global HIV, and disaster relief. So we always have projects in those areas. And what we do is we do a lot of research, and we find out who's doing the most efficient and positively impacting work in the world. And we speak to them about what we're doing, and we ask if they'd like to partner. So we form these really fantastic partnerships, really between the LGBT community and the straight humanitarian aid world. And, you know, we work together to heal, you know, to heal, spread love, educate people, and save lives all around the world.
And it's interesting because I think a lot of charity work oftentimes gets relegated to religious organizations, and it's such an important part of our humanity. And even if you don't think of it as a spiritual thing, I mean, it's a way that connects all people. You know, it's definitely a way to access our higher selves, you know. And so I think I'm thinking of this as we're standing in front of the Last Supper. Jesus is here in wax, and Judas and John and Matthew and Simon, you know, all the apostles are here at dinner, and you know, people are kind of gathering around and taking pictures. It's interesting, like, how do you think your work in the Rainbow World Fund connects you to humanity? You know, why are you drawn to it? Why are you drawn to this work?
Well, I think it goes back to my roots. As a child, I was an orphan, and I was adopted internationally, but I always knew that I was adopted. And so as a kid, I grew up during a time where your mother used to say, you've got to finish everything on your plate because there's children starving in Africa and China. And I always wanted to know, why are they starving? Why is that happening? Because at that point, I was living in the United States, you know, sort of the land of plenty, it seemed. And none of the adults ever had an answer for me, you know? And so as a child, I think with my adoption and all of that, I developed, I believe, like sort of a consciousness of the world really young. So I was just really passionate as a kid about the plight of other children around the world. And so that sort of stayed with me. And I think that's some of the roots of Rainbow World Fund. And I grew up and I decided I wanted to serve humanity in some way. And I became a social worker. And I worked, I'm still a social worker, that's my day job. Rainbow World Fund is a 100% volunteer run organization. It's been that way for 12 years.
Even you.
Everybody. Right. And my day job is still a social worker, but I was about 12 years into my career as a social worker back then, and I thought, I want to do something different. I didn't know what that was, and someone told me, they said, think about your childhood, see what you were passionate about. And I went back to my childhood, and I thought, oh, was I passionate about, art, or did I want to be a fireman or whatever type of a thing? And I remembered all of this, all the time I spent just reading about the welfare of people around the world and wondering, in a world of so much abundance, why there was so much disparity. So that's kind of, that's the roots of Rainbow World Fund. And it's interesting, we're standing here in front of the wax figure recreation of the Last Supper and in this cool museum. And, you mentioned about spiritual and religious groups, and when I started Rainbow World Fund, one of the many things I wanted to accomplish was help to heal the spiritual divide between the traditional spiritual divide between the LGBT community and so many religious organizations. And so, actually, we've done that. We've worked with a number of religious groups around the world in our projects. We worked with some Catholic groups to put water systems in Honduras. Every year I take people down on humanitarian aid tour in Guatemala. Our two guides are American Catholic nuns. We work really closely with priests. We have a trip coming up in 13 days. I'm taking a group down to Cuba. It's our first time to Cuba. And we're sponsored by the Cuba Council of Churches. So we do a lot of work to help heal the spiritual divide and create understanding within traditional religious communities about LGBT people.
So one of the issues that you mentioned was access to safe drinking water. And I don't think that many people know, especially in the United States, where you can just easily turn on any faucet and get perfectly drinkable drinking water, and it's really cheap. But there's other places in the world where people, like the entire drinking water supply, gets purchased by a large corporation and people don't have access. Or, other things happen where there's just no clean water anywhere, there's no infrastructure.
Right.
Could you say more about what you do?
You're absolutely right about that. That's one of the biggest issues facing the world is clean drinking water, and the majority of the world does not have access to it. And because of that, there's, a number of diseases and things like that that people are very, very susceptible to get. And they usually get them many, many, many times during their lives, and they can easily die from them. But what they really do is just deplete them. And so we've supported projects in Honduras for a number of years, where we've funded the installation of gravity-fed water systems coming down to the mountain into a village, where the village will have taps and latrines inside every single household. And this dramatically increases the sanitation, because people have drinkable water and water that's clean to wash in and everything like that. But plus, it also just saves them hours and hours every day of going up multiple times during the day to their water source up at the top of the mountain to get it. It's a big problem.
And it's so important, because people can't live very long without good, clean water.
Yeah, and one of the most interesting things is, the number of the water projects that we've done in Central America, they'll provide water to a village of, 200, 250 people, and the project may cost $20,000 to install. It'll have, at least a 35-year shelf life to it,
Right.
And it not only brings water to the people, but what we do, we work with the organizations that teach people a business model, so that they learn the skills how to do these water systems themselves, and they eventually start marketing their skills to other villages to help them. And, like I said, some of the projects are around $20,000, and they're bringing safe drinking water into every single household. In San Francisco, you'd be hard-pressed to remodel a single bathroom that
right.
maybe one or two people will ever use. you know, for $20,000. So it's amazing, you know, how much our money can do to help the world, even small amounts.
So tell me how your connection with the LGBT community, how you brought that into Rainbow World Fund, how it's deepened your experience of the humanitarian work you're doing, you know, why you chose to focus your humanitarian efforts, you know, by including the LGBT community.
Well, that just really goes back to me. And, you know, I decided I wanted to do something to help heal the world on a larger scale than I was doing as a clinical social worker. And I came up with this idea, you know, I sort of put it out to the universe, if you would, you know, I sort of said a prayer and a thought, and I said, what should I do? And it was probably about 2 months later, this flash sort of a thought came to me, and it was sort of my own inner voice said, start an international aid agency based in the LGBT and friends community. And the instant I had the thought, it was like, oh my God, you know, our community has grown so much, we've matured so much since our symbolic beginnings with Stonewall,
right.
You know, 30, 40 years ago, I guess now, and that you know, now is the time for us to sort of reach beyond our community. You know, we've had to come together as a community to heal ourselves and grow and become a political power and everything else we need to be to survive. But, you know, now is the time for us to take the next step in our growth as a community and is to connect ourselves with the world. And for me, I just thought, you know, how do we do that? We have to figure out a way to serve the world. And this was, you know, like I said, it's part of my personal journey. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm a gay man living in San Francisco. You know, start with my own community and get them involved in this vision that I have. And, you know, other people, you know, I've talked to them, and so many people have had such a similar vision about this, you know, that it's time for us to reach out and take a role, our proper role in leadership in healing the world, you know, in other ways. And that's what Rainbow does.
So tell me how people can get involved in Rainbow World Fund. I assume you have a website. I'm sure people can donate. But if someone wanted to volunteer, is that also a possibility?
Yeah, we're 100% volunteer run, and our website is Rainbow Fund. That's Rainbow FUND.org, and so you could go to the website and then filter through the contact page, and the emails will get to someone at the organization, and we'll see if it's a possibility that you can work with us. And, you know, we have basic office tasks that need to be done to, you know, staffing like some fun, great event like this, to, you know, fundraising, all sorts of things.
Right.
Yeah, so we could totally use help.
Right. What's your next big project out in the world? What are you looking at?
Like I mentioned, I'm taking a group of people to Cuba in 13 days. It's our first time going to Cuba. And normally our aid trips will end up bringing down, you know, 2,000 pounds of medicine and medical supplies. With Cuba, it's our first time. And we're keeping it simple. We're raising money to help Cubans who are dealing with HIV through the Cuba AIDS Project. But this is more of an educational trip. One of the neat things is, and I hope it comes through. We set up a meeting with Mariel Castro, and she is the daughter of the current president Raul Castro, and she's Fidel's daughter, and she's really fascinating. She is a scholar in human sexuality and is an advocate for the LGBT community. And so we've got a meeting set up with her, and I hope she'll be able to keep the schedule and everything. And we're looking forward to talking with her about the state of LGBT rights and how they've changed in Cuba, just like everywhere else in the world over the past couple decades.
Right, because there's so many different ways. I mean, your risk factors for HIV infection increase if you have, you know, other kinds of disparities, like if there's a race disparity or if there's an economic or class disparity, your risk factor actually can increase. So it's really important to reach out to different communities.
Absolutely. You know, if the message that you're always getting is that you're not worthwhile, you're not good enough, then you're not going to be able to take care of yourself or be motivated to do that or even have the skills or education or different things you need.
And sometimes in the gay community, there's a sense of inevitability, like, I'm going to get this, like, it's kind of a judgment or whatever, and so many people don't maybe take as many steps, or they just feel like, oh, and then also they are afraid to find out, so they don't get tested.
Yeah, I think you're right. Unfortunately, that still happens with people, because I've had a number of friends who... you know, unfortunately, for a lot of different reasons, put themselves at risk and are positive now. And so God knows we have a lot of work still there to do to help heal our community in that way and keep HIV prevention going.
Well, there's so many interesting people doing HIV outreach now, like Jorge Vieto of the Stop AIDS Project. I did a recent interview with him, and, you know, he's talking about how, you know, now with the new drugs, there's so many more positive ways, you know, to approach the disease, so many treatments, both, you know, Western medical and alternative, that really, I mean, just get tested. It's not a death sentence. You know, it's not the end of the world. You know, that there actually can be positive, you know, growth experiences out of what, you know, many would see, you know, 10, 15 years ago as a total tragedy.
That's right. It's been really, with the advent of protease inhibitors, I think about 1995, it's been amazing, you know, how many lives and lives they've saved and lives they've prolonged. Of course, you know, they're not a perfect fix because there's lots of side effects and they can be very hard on the body and all of that. But there's a lot of hope, you know, for people who are living with HIV in the United States, and there's hope growing in the rest of the world.
Are there any other projects with the Rainbow World Fund that you'd like to tell us about, Jeff?
You know, we're just working on funding our ongoing projects right now. It's kind of tough in this economy, you know, because people are really worried about money. And so what we're working on now is we've been around for 12 years, and ever since we started, we've been sort of like running. And we're still doing that because every time we get a breath and some other natural disaster ends up happening.
A tsunami
or an earthquake or a volcano or something ends up happening. We end up helping there. So one of the things we'd like to do with part of this year is to work on building our own infrastructure. You know, building up our board of directors more, building up some funding sources for us. You know, to just keep the organization going and keeping it healthy and getting more volunteers involved.
Right. So it's RainbowWorldFund.
So it's the organization's name is Rainbow World Fund, and our primary website address that we use is RainbowFund.org. So a lot of people know us as the Rainbow Fund. Please visit us on the web.
Thank you so much, Jeff Potter of the Rainbow World Fund, and it's rainbowfund.org.
Yes, thanks, Monica.
Thank you. This is a Sexploration with Monica on location episode. We're actually in the Chamber of Horrors right now at the Wax Museum. We're actually standing next to Vincent Price, who was a Wax Museum guy from a long time ago that actually used to put people in boiling vats of wax to make his wax figurines. So it's kind of life imitating art and some murder, and then life imitating art again. It's a strange echo. As I'm standing next to Joe from the Richmond Ermitt AIDS Foundation, this is also a benefit for the Richmond Ermitt AIDS Foundation. And I wanted to know, Joe, what drew you to do humanitarian work in the AIDS community, in the HIV positive community?
Well, what we've been doing for going on 18 years now is that we basically put on big entertainment events. And what we do is we try to raise awareness and funds for Bay Area charities. And we've been doing it since 1995 or so. And we've given away about $2.6 or $2.7 million to the charities based upon this grassroots foundation.
And it's all local.
Yes, it's all local. And we do a little bit of money that goes to Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS because we've had literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of performers, celebrities that have donated their time and talent. to the fight against AIDS.
Right, like Donna Sachet is here tonight, Armistead Maupin, and he wrote Tales of the City. And then also Sister Roma, the Sisters of lots of Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are here tonight.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, and so it's just really a lot of fun. This is a very different event for us. We decided to do something really fun and gay night at the Wax Museum. And normally our shows are all big, the Broadway shows type thing. We bring a lot of celebrities in and do big gala performances, and all the money goes to local charities. We're starting a new one, which is called Dancing from the Heart, and it's bringing all the dance companies around from the Bay Area in one big gala show, and that'll be in, it's going to be in April that we'll be doing that show.
Cool. So what you do is you do a lot of fundraising, you throw parties. I mean, the gala events, the dancing, that sounds really like a really fun and lighthearted way to bring awareness and relief funds to, you know, sometimes people think, oh, well, AIDS is solved already, or, you know, it's a downed economy. I can't, you know, there's nothing I can do. And it sounds like you're actually making people more aware.
Yeah, we're trying. The big thing is to raise funds, but it's also raising awareness. And that's what we've been trying to do for a long period of time. We lost, my partner and I lost probably 30 close friends. And a number of years ago, we decided we needed to do something to give back. So what we did, and our best friend passed away. We said that was it. And our best friend's mother and her best friend from childhood, these two 70-year-old ladies, 75-year-old ladies, were living together. And at the time, they both lost their only sons to AIDS. And we decided to do... to give back and to do something. We decided to do something positive. And since then, we've raised over $2.6 million. And it's all grassroots, bringing people together. So we work with a lot of the Broadway shows coming to town. We do the one-night-only shows with all the Broadway cast. We work with about 45 of those people. And then we also do our own show, Help Is On The Way, which is the biggest show in Northern California for AIDS, and a holiday version of that.
So if people want to get involved, is there ways that you can use volunteers, or are you taking donations on your website? How can people help?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Anybody who wants to volunteer, they can contact us at helpisontheway.org. They can also donate. We're constantly looking for sponsors and for people to spread the word. And it's really fun. It's as you can tell, you can hear in the background.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
They're really fun events. They bring people together. They give you a chance to volunteer. But it's also, it gives companies and that sort of thing in terms of ways of getting their name out there into the community. So
it's just giving back.
Oh, and giving back. I mean, we've met so many wonderful people, and we've given to over 32 Bay Area agencies.
What are some of the agencies that you've worked with over the years? The Bay Area, like Stop AIDS Project, Shanti?
Oh, all of those. Stop AIDS and Shanti and... basically, many, many, many agencies. We work with agencies that deal with children, with women's causes. We work with Aguilis, which is, for the Latin community. We've worked with, there were just so many of these agencies that we work with, over 32 of them, many different focuses. So every year our board of directors work to choose each one of the agencies that are going to, basically need the most in terms of funding for that year. So that's what we try to do and pick those agencies.
So it's the Richmond Ehrmann AIDS Foundation.
Yeah,
Ehrmann, right?
Richmond Ehrmann AIDS Foundation. It's hard to say. So it's REAF. So it's just REAF. REAF.org or helpisontheway.org, because Help Is On The Way is the theme of our event.
If you were to say, what you get out of it, what would you tell? Since you've been doing it 18 years, what's something that you've taken away from it?
Love.
Yeah? Because people get more love out of giving love than receiving love.
It's love. It's all it is. And when you see the people come together in the casts, they come together for the cause and for the reason. And it's giving back to people. And we started it because... again, for the loss that we had of our best friend and those sort of things. But it's also about, at a certain point in your life, you decide that you've done enough things with the corporate things that it's time to give back. And everybody has that need. And this is one way of a community coming together to provide that need, but also, more importantly, to give back to those agencies that really are struggling to make ends meet. And it's also fun. It's fun. And there's celebrities and there's people that are around. And it's just a joy to volunteer and be a part of it.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Joe. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Well, thank you so much, Fred.
I'm here now with Donna Sache. Girl, you look so sparkly. I'm amazed that you can get the headphones on with those fabulous earrings.
Well, I do a lot of television work, and I'm not going to mess the hair up. I have to scoop underneath. Learn how to do it.
So what's going on here tonight? It's a big party. We're celebrating the Rainbow World Fund and the Richmond Ermitt AIDS Foundation.
You got it right. And, you know, I keep telling my friends, years from now, we'll say, we did what, where? I mean, because, you know, we do this a lot in different, more standard locations, like a hotel ballroom or a bar or something. But we're in the Wax Museum of San Francisco. First of all, we didn't know it was so huge. I mean, Brad Pitt keeps winking at me. Prince Charles wants to dance with me. It's just incredible. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, Beetlejuice. We're doing interviews in front of Jesus. Yeah. It's like, and then there's the Chamber of Horrors and the Tomb of the Egypt. Yeah, it's amazing.
And what about all the live music tonight? I mean, it's not just DJing, which is great, but several live performers that have really added so much to it. And I love also the sentimental aspect. The two of the founders of the Richard Ermitt AIDS Foundation are celebrating 30 years of life partnership together. I mean, you and I, we don't remember doing anything for 30 years, do we?
No, not really. Especially not like an actual relationship. I'm like, whoa, that lasted 5 months? Amazing.
Really?
So tell me what draws you to do charity work for the Richmond Ermitt AIDS Foundation and the Rainbow World Fund?
Well, Richmond Ermitt has been a favorite of mine for all 18 years they've existed. I went to the first concert they had, and to me, I was attracted initially by the musical talents they had. You know, people were coming to San Francisco that I idolized, that what are they coming here for? And then you found out it was this great cause. So that perfect combination of great quality entertainment done up to scale, and then you're raising money for great organizations you believe in. And then the Rainbow World Fund, I love their concept of convincing the world that gay dollars don't just stay in the gay community. They go to Bolivia, they go to flooded places, they go to Katrina, whatever. You know, we do have a larger vision. So.
Right. Yeah. They were telling me about all the projects they were doing with making clean water and going to Honduras and Cuba and all these exciting things.
And a lot of it really sustainable. It's not like they come in and they, you know, give people something for the weekend or for the night, but they're giving, like digging wells or creating sustainable kind of things, you know, whether it's farms or livestock sometimes or whatever it is. I mean, it's incredible what they do.
So what are some of the other things that you do around town in the gay community, performing?
Well, I'm very proud of, we're in our sixth year now at Harriet and Starlight Room. We do a brunch every Sunday called Sundays of Drag. And when it first started, I thought, oh, is this going to work? But, you know, here we are 6 years later. We're sold out tomorrow. It's you know, it's just a great thing to bring your parents to, we have bridesmaids parties, we have, you know, bachelorettes. I mean, and then, you know, a nice gay crowd too. It's a great, both worlds collide. It's great.
I love the drag show at Harry Denton's. It is so fun. And it really is the perfect way to introduce your mom to a drag show.
Right. Well, I'm really proud of it because we've kept the standards high, and it's in Union Square, so you can't just do it half-assed. I mean, it's really a professional show with beautiful gowns and convincing performances. And, you know, you get caught up in the numbers. Like, is that Whitney Houston?
Oh, my God, it totally looks like Tina Turner. Yeah. It really does, you know? And it's the hair and the energy and just the performances.
The legs.
yes.
So you've been there several times?
Oh, yeah, twice. I love it. It's so fun. Yeah, it's really. And it changes all the time. And
somebody told me today that somebody's coming tomorrow. They said, they bring some out-of-town friends. They said, Don, I don't know if you know, you become the new alternative to Beach Blanket Babylon. And, of course, I love Beach Blanket Babylon, but I go when I have out-of-town friends. But what a great alternative to bring people to and show them a slice of San Francisco.
Exactly. Go to both. Because, I mean, the big hats and the everything, that's pretty impressive. But, oh, the sparkle and the fame and the pointy, and the costumes are just incredible.
People don't realize some of those costumes, you know, are months of labor, and, you know, they may start one way and then they are elaborated on. You know, people make more stones, more this, more that. You know, in drag, we always say more is better.
Oh, it's true, because it's so sparkly and so pink and so fluffy, and your hats are nothing to sneeze at.
You're right. We have some hats, too. All theater.
Oh, it's so fun. It's so fun. And it's so fun to, like, get out here and, like, do some good and, you know, talk to the people about what they're doing in the Rainbow World Fund. It's exciting.
Well, it was kind of weird tonight. You know, as I came in, I was, you know, one of the first people here since I was part of the hosting. And, you know, you get out of the cab and you're in the middle of, like, Pier 39, this very touristy thing. And, you know, they look at it and, you know, like, well, what is it? I'm totally out of their expectation. And yet I'm convinced tonight anybody could have come in here at a great time. You know, to have Armistead Maupin in here, you know, legendary playwright and writer and just great guy all around. To have Sister Roma representing the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, maybe way out there for some people, but up there on the mic making sense, you know. And then my contribution, like trying to bring my crowd in. So I love the way San Francisco melds it all together.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. I mean, because it's not just about parties and fun. It's also about, like, how can we connect and how can we make the world better?
And isn't it great when you can be doing good as you're having fun? You know, I mean, I would never want to do, like, a, you know, a telephone call-in thing. Like you're, like, taking pledges on the phone. That can't be fun. You know, let's have a party, and as we're doing it, create funding for organizations that would be in desperate need without us.
So as we're standing here, there's like people dancing and there are people in amazing costumes. I mean, the hats and the flowers and I mean, everything else is, it's really amazing.
And
so
what about the range of people? I mean, I've seen all ages. I've seen all, you know, kinds of worlds represented here tonight. And that's what San Francisco is all about. I always say there's something in the water or the air here because we just do things differently and it works.
Yeah. Bigger, brighter, sparklier.
Yeah, exactly.
How can people find you?
Oh, I'm very easy. Donna at DonnaSachet.com. I've got my own website. Also on Facebook. Facebook I find a little overwhelming. I'm getting close to that 5,000 friends, and it's just unwieldy. But go directly to my DonnaSachet.com, and you'll see what I'm doing and where I'm going to be and keep interested. So
fabulous. Well, thank you so much,
I'm
Donna.
I'm going to go dance.
Yes. Amen.
You can download free podcasts at SexplorationWithMonica.com.